This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
What up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. I do apologize. I know we're dropping this a day late, but, life happens sometimes. But I have my very good friend on the other side of the podcast. He is definitely not the Tyrus of this podcast, Mr. Will Ryuta. How are you, my friend?
You know, Tom, that's the thing about life, right? It happens every day.
Yeah, with or without us. So, I just got home from the stadium. Will just got his ass kicked today. I'm eating dinner. So, well, we're doing this content for our High Five Heart. Anyway, that's all right, that. Look at that.
Edit.
Well, very few edits.
Tom, are you? This isn't a visual podcast, but are you eating sour cream out of the container? Is that what I just saw?
No, I am eating something out of a sour cream container, but it is not sour cream.
All right, you know, it wouldn't be the strangest thing, you know. It wouldn't be the strangest somebody say eating olive sugar out of a container, but, you know, it is. I was going to be like, you got like chips or something to go with it. Like, I mean, you want to raw dog some sour cream, you raw dog some sour cream.
Yeah, no, it's some. My mom brought her some chicken cacciatore.
Ooh.
Calm down on that shit, yo.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It is good. But, well, I mean, we talked off air, obviously, but how you been, my friend?
I was trying to think of some cute way to put it now that we're on air. And try to fill my role as the color co-host. But I'm tired, beat up. I'm a grouchy old man. Whatever Merlin says in Sword of the Stone. I'm just a grouchy old man, whatever he says. Still the superpower I wish I had. You know, some people want to fly. Some people want to have super strength. I want to be able to sing a little, you know, a little ditty and have all this shit shrink down so I can fit all my wrestling t-shirts in the drawer and just close the one drawer.
Wow. That's an interesting superpower, though.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The cartoon Sword in the Stone, Merlin sings a song and, like, everything shrinks down.
No.
Oh. I forgot I'm, you know, a bit younger than you. Yeah, he pretty much packs up his whole house. Like, he sings a song, like, everything in his house, like, shrinks. Like, all the books, all the everything shrinks, so everything just goes down, like, the one suitcase. And then when he gets to where he's going, he opens it up, and, like, all the shit just, like, flies out, like, as it was arranged in the room. So if I could just, you know, fold my laundry and, like, sing a little song and have all my 2X t-shirts shrink down to a, you know, like, baby onesie size, I'd have more room for t-shirts.
Thank you. That's a very interesting superpower.
I mean, I guess it was Merlin, right? So it's a spell, so it's not really a superpower. But I don't know. I feel like you know, the DC universe has some like magicians. Marvel to some degree too, like Doctor Strange, kind of using magic and shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, a spell would be like, if you can do spells, I would assume that's a superpower.
The only superpower I've got going for me is I have the dread of being right about when I know a timer's going to go off. Whenever I open a walk-in door, I'm like, that timer's going to go off as soon as this closes behind me. And as the door closes behind me, before it latches, I hear the beep going off. It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, why don't get locked in?
Kind of like when you can just like look around and be like, oh, it's got to be like 1:34, and you look at the clock and it's like 1:35, and you're like, I knew it.
Yeah, I have that same power. I mean, my wife was so impressed, especially she said yes to yesterday.
How about you, Tom? I've talked about me more than I needed to. So what's new with you?
Yeah, busy as usual, scatterbrained as usual. Nicole, what are you doing? Yeah, you tell him to smoke this. You get him. Get him to smoke this. Not editing that out. We did buy a new car. This is the first time in my life my car, when I bought it, didn't already have 100,000 miles on it. Wasn't already 10 years old, but we busted out a 2024 Subaru Outback. So it's pretty much the same car we had before.
Hell yes. Subaru Squad.
Yeah, except it's a 19-year, it's the same color and everything. Obviously, there's some advances in the 19 years, but a lot of electronics.
And just to fill everybody in, Tom's getting on board here because there's a growing number. If you're not part of the Shining Wizards Discord, you want to know this, but there's a growing number of people in that group all driving the Subarus.
Yeah, because isn't former guest of the show, Mr. Mike Peterson's new car, Subaru?
I think Mike got a Subaru. Shining Wizards Matt, I believe, was driving a Subaru.
Wow.
I drive a Subaru. Brittany has a Subaru. Brittany's Subaru is much nicer than my Subaru.
Yeah.
I've got the kind of car where they send you the shit in the mail, right? Where it's like, oh, your car is valued at this. You should come trade it in. It's like, they obviously haven't taken a good look at it. It's like, you're going to give me how much? I don't think you will once you look at it. But, hey, if you're going to give me this offer, maybe I'll take you up on it.
Yeah, I remember our old Subaru. I'm like, yeah, this Kelly Blue Book's at $3,800. I'm like, right. Yeah, we drove it off a lot and had 16 miles on it.
Damn.
So, yeah, this is the next 2 years, so it's going to be a little interesting financially, but, something reliable. It's warranted bumper to bumper, but.
I mean, it is kind of snazzy, too, to have a new, even if it's not like a brand new, it's a new-to-you car. I mean, your car is pretty much brand new. I mean, with only that many miles on it, I mean, they probably just moved it around lot to lot, so.
Yeah, it was on the lot for 45 minutes. We snapped it up. Like, it was just, the light was, the universe would say, hey, you need a car, so.
I'm not like a car guy, and I'm never like, oh, I really wanted to go get a new car, but like towards the end of my time at my last job, like 3 or 4 people had all gotten new cars. So like you'd pull in the parking lot and I'd look around and be like, oh, look at those nice new cars.
Yeah.
I have no savings to go in with any kind of down payment though. So like I've got to ride this thing out as long as it's going to give me. Unless they are willing to give me what they said in that letter, they're willing to give me for this car.
Yeah.
But again, once they see it, they're probably going to take a couple thousand off. Hole in the front seat. It's a mess.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, we weren't planning on buying it 2024, but, like, we're looking in 2019, 2020, 2021. And, dude, it was only, like, $3,000 less than a brand-new car.
They hold the value incredibly well. Like, I've got a 2015, and the number that letter said, because obviously, you know, that number is just based on, like, the car you have. It's not based on specifically your car.
Right.
But still, like, they hold their value. It's bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was like, well, fuck it. You know? I mean, it's fully warranted bumper to bumper for 80,000 miles. Basically, all we got to worry about is gas and tires.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, granted, don't get me wrong, we paid a solid chunk of change for that warranty.
Well, I mean, if you're going brand new car, you got to go with the warranty.
Yeah.
You got to go with the warranty. You got to have insurance. Because I'm assuming you guys require insurance. Does Wisconsin require insurance?
Yep, as of June 1st, 2010.
See, New Hampshire doesn't require you to have insurance. However, if you do not have insurance, and you're involved in an incident with somebody who does have insurance, one of you is going to have a significantly worse time than the other. I say this as somebody who, years ago, early in my Brittany's relationship, I got rear-ended at a red light. At the time, I was driving my... Did I have my Civic at the time? No, I had a Corolla at the time. And this, it wasn't a brand new, but a guy in a Durango he had just bought rear-ended me at a red light. Homie wanted to save a couple bucks when he got it, so he didn't insure it right away. Womp, womp, womp.
How long did you have the car?
I hadn't had it a terribly long time because it was my stepmother's car.
Well, I meant
in the car I
said he just had it, he just bought it. How long did he have it?
Oh, like, no, like he made it out like he didn't have it for maybe a couple weeks, even. Like, just got it.
Wow, that's Yeah, I remember because I was like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, well, yeah, because, I mean, it's the place, you know, the cops look at it as a white Subaru, blah, blah, blah. But we got that all transferred. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But then we're driving the car home, and I was just a fucking nervous wreck. I'm like, all right, yeah, if this car gets wrecked on the way home, like, we're not insured, we are fucked. The second we got home, I'm like, I just logged on. I'm like, all right, we're insured now. Yeah, I was not. I was like, I was. So, yeah, that guy. Well, it's funny because he rear-ended you, though, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, he's not only dumb, he doesn't know how to drive either, right?
Is that a red light? You know, I saw the lights coming, but, I mean, the people here drive so aggressively that, like, you see somebody's headlights, like, whipping up on you. You don't really think twice about it because that's just how people drive around here. I mean, anybody who's driven in Boston can vouch for that. I mean, you go through the tunnel, you're kind of taking your life in your own hands.
Yeah.
Because heaven forbid you give up 2 inches to the car, you know, in a different lane. Yeah. I saw the headlights coming. I heard the brakes screech, and I felt the whoop when they hit. You know, because, like, it didn't make the car move because they slammed on their brakes. But, I mean, at that point, they did do enough damage that, like, jacked of the trunk. I had to, like, tie the trunk closed and stuff like that. I mean, like I said, much worse time for the guy who hit me. Yeah. So, remember, kids, shop around for – make sure you have insurance and make sure – that you shop around for insurance so you don't wind up like me and pay a lot of money for insurance that, thankfully, knock on wood, I really haven't had to use for this car.
Yeah, but Will, you're paying an astronomical amount for
it. I am paying way too much. I mean, I don't know how much of this effect is affected by my driving record, right? Because I have a small driving record. Nothing recent, but there may be some lingering speeding tickets on there, and I was the cause of an accident in a different car.
Now, maybe.
Yeah. But it's also, it is what it is. Like, I haven't shopped. I've been I'm going to say a loyalist, but like, I've had the one insurance carrier since I first started driving. And I just keep, you know, moving it to different vehicles, you know, so.
Has it gone down at all since you started having it?
Not with this car, no. It wasn't. I don't think it was this much for my other cars, but I would say my other cars weren't as new.
Yeah.
Is the biggest thing, right? I was driving like 2000s, 2002s, whereas now I'm driving 2015. Yeah. But, you know, Tom, at the end of the day, I am a white male between the ages of 18 and 40, right?
Yeah.
I got speeding tickets. I've acknowledged that I've been the cause of at least one accident.
What did you
do? I did the stupid thing where I was going somewhere I didn't really know the area, and I realized as I was passing it that I didn't stop at a stop sign, so rather than speed up to make sure I got through the intersection, I hesitated. Totaled that car.
Yep. I'm doing it. Oh, you messaged me. Sorry, I missed one.
But, Tom, this isn't what people... I mean, this might be what people tune in for. I mean, it might be a little more engaging than what we got in Ring of Honor. Even though it wasn't, I have some qualms about All-Star Extravaganza, or no, Manhattan Mayhem. But I was a little pleasantly surprised with TV.
Okay. Yeah, well, real quick, Will. Sorry, I got distracted by something. Surprise. We would be remiss, so we could probably dig into it when we're both feeling a little better. You know, this is not the awesomest weekend for the wrestling community in general. Obviously, if you haven't heard it, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, you know, pretty recently, Terry Funk just died. You know, like we had talked about in pre-production. You didn't know much about Terry Funk. I knew a little bit. Obviously, by the time I was watching him, it's just hard to imagine his feud with Ric Flair in the late 80s. Both those motherfuckers are already in their 40s. You know, and that cocksucker, I mean, he's retired a lot, but
yeah, my only exposure to him was in that like mid-2000s WWE when like they brought back Mick Foley, and they kind of like when like the new the WWE CW was starting and like Foley was feuding with Edge. And Terry Funk came in and said, if I had a head like yours, I'd get it circumcised.
But, you know, and honestly, it might be a good time to go back and watch some Terry Funk. I know former guest of one of my podcasts, my good friend Rev Kirk, is a big fan of Dory Funk Jr. Like, he's actually dressed up as Dory Funk Jr. as a couple costume battle royals. I mean, I guess he had a hell of a run in Japan, obviously, too. You know, and all this stuff.
A lot of people swear by Terry Funk. Shining Wizards Matt, big Terry Funk guy, also has mentioned in the Discord. Shining Wizards Discord's free to join. Check it out. That Terry Funk also has an enjoyable country album.
Really?
Came out a long time ago, but yeah, Matt said it's decent. I haven't listened to it, but it's one of those things where it's like it's one of those oddities, right? If you're ever in like a record store, you want to look through some beat up old records, maybe you find a Terry Funk.
That's awesome. I mean, he was an actor. He was in, well, speaking of Shining Wizards, he was in the movie Over the Top. You know, this was Scott Flash Norton. That's a book I did not mention in our book question. But he was great in Roadhouse.
I was going to say he was in Roadhouse, right?
Yeah, awesome in Roadhouse.
Haven't seen that either.
There was you and my buddy Andy were thinking we're doing a review of that one of these days, so maybe we could try it. It's, I don't know, it's your typical, I shouldn't say typical, it's an 80s movie with Patrick Swayze, you know, Magic Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott as bar bouncers in the 80s, and it's exactly what you get. It's, I don't know, it's a great watch. But, you know, and listen, we will dive in a little bit more. But then the next day, Will, Bray Wyatt, 36 years old, Will.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is not hitting me like it should. I don't know. Listen, I knew Bray Wyatt is definitely one of the first people I definitely kind of gravitated to when I first started. His dad was, you know, sleeper one of my favorites as a kid. Maybe I'm just numb at this point, but I know you're a big Bray Wyatt fan. I mean, we'll dig into this next week. I mean, there's going to be tournaments galore.
Huge Bray Wyatt fan. It's hard to say, right? Because WWE just shit out so much merchandise, you know, all the time, and not half of it's dog shit, right?
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of shirts. I picked up, my brother would get them for me for my birthday. I've gotten a couple off eBay. I also, when he did a signing for High Spots last year, the year before, I got a couple signed turnbuckle pads.
Oh, you signed them?
What?
Did he let go at all?
No, it was like an approved,
okay,
like signing kind of thing. So like he was signing. Wow. There was some like toy kind of things you could get. Like there was like some prints or like signed photographs you could get. So it was like I don't know if he was doing a whole lot. I mean, Brady and I were talking about it, and it's like I've dropped big money on signed pieces for two wrestlers, and they have both since passed away. Yeah. So if anybody hears me talking about buying a high value wrestling memorabilia signed by somebody, maybe we should talk me out of it.
Well, this is Manny Machado from the San Diego Padres.
And it's one of those things where I didn't love how they turned out, because it's one of those things where you just send in what you want written on. You don't really, you're not there to say like, oh, could you put it this way or whatever, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I initially was kind of like, ah, oh, I don't love these, but now it's like, well, it's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much value they'll. I mean, they're signed, right? So they'll have value later. But like what I put on them, it's kind of like you kind of need both of them.
Okay. Yeah.
They kind of got like the one thing across the two pieces. Yeah. So very, very bummed. I mean, 36 years old. I mean, I turned 32 this year. He's not that much older than I am. To see that, you know, some speculation it's a heart attack following, you know, issues post COVID and whatnot. But it's like no matter what cause of it is, I mean, 36 is
too young for anybody.
It's not hitting like. When Brody Lee passed, like that, like I felt like devastated. Like I would like break down thinking about it. This isn't affecting me as much. And I don't know if it's just like because I haven't seen Bray Wyatt, so I'm not really watching the E. Like, I'm aware of what's happening. I was aware of kind of, like, what he was doing, but, like, wasn't watching it. It's not like when I was watching AEW, and I was, like, all about what Brody Lee's doing. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, gone.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched the tribute show yet. I obviously thoughts go out to all his friends and family. My friend Jason made a really nice post. He's a referee and producer. And, you know, all the love to the world to Eric Rowan. I mean, to have lost both Brody Lee and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Well, you know, he left behind two little kids. And, you know, he's definitely one of those guys where, you know, and you heard these stories before he died. So it's not like oh, he's such a great guy. But, I mean, you know, you always heard that stuff before that he was a really, you know, down to earth dude. So, I mean, we'll probably dig it more into that in the future when we're both up for it. I mean, there's 6 million tribute shows going on as we speak. Yeah, I mean, 36. And I always, listen, yeah, I got into wrestling as the end of 2015. So the Wyatt family was starting to feud with, you know, the Undertaker and Kane and then the media stuff. Happened, but you know, that Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena, I wouldn't even say a match, that was fucking brilliant.
I still haven't seen that.
I thought you were gonna watch it. It's fucking brilliant. I always said, like, I mean, he should literally go Hollywood. I'm not even saying Hollywood Hogan, but he had the mind for it. Would have been cool to see, like, with money and backing, like, what he could do for, like, a movie or anything, you know. But,
I always had I armchair booked so much Bray Wyatt and Wyatt family stuff because I was just so frustrated that they never really made headway, right? Like, they never really hit that level they could have. Like, I had all sorts of stories, whether they were staying together or, like, different, like, if Rowan and Harper turned on Bray Wyatt, it's like, if they start winning but Bray's still losing. But it's like, you never, I mean, the House of Horrors match, I mean, that was not great. The match at Mania wasn't great. But the thing is, he got dealt a lot of shit. But he still seemed like a viable contender. Like, he didn't really lose ground in any way. But it's just kind of a bummer that it's just like, they'd start with something that's like, this has some real potential.
Yeah.
And then they WWE the fuck out of it.
Yeah, so it's it's been a rough week. But I think Bray will hit me a little bit later on, obviously, but no, and people say, yeah, I mean, Terry Funk, you know, wasn't surprising, his wife passed away recently and you know, he's 79 and blah blah blah. It still sucks. You know, it doesn't matter how little people are, but.
Well, it's like today, Bob Barker.
Yeah.
99 years old.
99.
God damn. I don't want to live that long.
No. Well, but if you're living Bob Barker's life, though, I mean.
50's good for me.
Yeah. And, well, you know, Jimmy Carter's on his last legs. He's, 99. Oh, Jesus Christ. So he was in his mid-70s when he was on Happy Gilmore then.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that...
This is wrong, Bob.
obviously there's some Hollywood magic in that, but it's still impressive regardless, so... But Will, like I said, we do. We will dig deeper into this when we're both more up for it. But we do have a couple of questions of dishonor that we should probably get to lighten up the mood. I'll do Rob's.
All right. Do we want to start with Rob's?
Yep. We kind of discussed in pre-production.
So, We did, because I missed this, because, you know, we do what we can. But our friend Rob, UTT Rob, on tanking the territory, gator golfing the territory, whatever other endeavors he's got across the pond. Yeah, he wanted to know, Tom, we got to build a super team. Because Davey Richards is banned in Canada. Because Canadian Davey Richards is a real asshole.
Yeah.
But we got to build a super team to face WCW's Team Canada of our with our Ring of Honor stars. So problem with this is I had to look up who the hell is even in Team Canada, because I have no idea. World Championship Wrestling in 2000 and 2001. I was not watching wrestling at age 9. That was not allowed.
Yeah.
And I also had like no exposure to WCW. Like I saw the commercials for like the Thunder and stuff like that. I'd see the commercials for the TV shows.
Yeah.
But my brother and I weren't allowed to watch wrestling. It's funny because 2002, Mom finally gave in and we were allowed to watch wrestling.
Yeah, that's a history story. So, well, WCW's Team Canada was not all Canadians.
No, and it's not all men.
Yeah.
So according to Wikipedia,
oh, go ahead.
We got Mike Awesome, Jim Duggan, Major Guns,
yep.
Bret Hart, Carl Ouellette, Jacques Rougeau, Elix Skipper, and Lance Storm.
Now, real quick, I do want to shout out fellow Shining Music Podcast network show. The year of Duke and Rogue. If you are familiar with Duke and Rogue, they are big
fans. Oh, yeah.
So they are. That's the main reason I even know who Elix Skipper is. I have to crack up that Jim Duggan here, obviously, Mr. America, is a part of Team Canada. But yeah, for Rob's, yeah, basically, Rob's, you know, the question is, can you make up a three person team to face WCW's Team Canada? Of ROH stars banned from Canada. And we can think of two people besides Davey Richards that are literally, well, Davey Richards isn't technically banned from Canada, but he should be. Oh, Will, did
it's Slim Pickens. I was going to say, I hope not. Because I'm not experiencing anything on my end.
Okay. Well, we thought of two right off the bat. And you couldn't come up with two more diametrically opposed people, even though they have the same name. But the first person that we thought of banned from Canada in Ring of Honor, Bobby Fish. You know, I mean, we're assuming that Bobby Fish is banned from Canada because Red Dragon can't compete in Canada for the tag team belts, which we'll discuss later on in the episode.
Bobby the Fish.
And then someone we're pretty much absolutely positively is banned from Canada. And that's Google Bob Evans. So we both know they are officially banned from Canada. Well, Cornette could go to Canada either, but he's obviously.
I was going to say Cornette could be at ringside tangling with Major Guns.
Yeah. So we got our manager. Jimmy Jacobs is, I mean, I can see Jimmy Jacobs being banned from Canada.
I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like Davey Richards is the only one who has like the. like, if we're going to open this up, I mean, obviously, you know, what a team of, if we could just open up to, like, anybody, right? We get Davey Richards, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, actually, like, banned from Canada. I don't know. A lot of our Ring of Honor roster that we see predominantly are Canadian, so.
Yeah, I mean, two of them. Ah. I kind of slim pickings here. I don't know. I'm just going to say Jimmy Jacobs. Just where I can see. Wait, is Carino banned from Canada too?
I don't think so. I mean, he's not the most popular guy in Ring of Honor right now, but I don't know if he's banned from Canada.
I'll go Jimmy Jacobs. That's the only particular person I could think.
Rob gives us the thinking man's questions.
Yeah.
we got to put these puzzles together. And sometimes we have great success. And sometimes I have to look up who Team Canada is, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my failing, not Rob's. Rob is great. Check out Untanking the Territories.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, High Five. So we do have Brundon's question here. Well done, Will. I had it, and then I threw my phone across the room because it made me mad. But this week's question of Dishonor. Manhattan Mayhem made me think of Manhattan Melodies for some reason. So who would be a wrestler or two in Ring of Honor 2013 that would make the best Muppet? And his answer, of course, he's got to steal all the good ones. And Brendan says,
I mean, it's the obvious answer, right? I mean, I feel like it's where our minds all collectively went.
Yeah, I had a different one, though, also. But Brendan's response, I forgot to answer my own question. That's kind of how Brendan rolls. I would go with National Treasure Mark. He just looks like a Muppet. I haven't chased guns or chickens or talked to Dr. Teeth about getting his teeth fixed. Also, honorable mention for Jimmy Jacobs, since he's a huge Muppets fan. And also, Caprice Coleman could sing Electric Mayhem. Will anybody not name Mark Briscoe as a Muppet that you could see as a Muppet in 2013?
I mean, this might be a small bit of a spoiler for later, but what if Outlaw Incorporated or Muppets?
Wow. I mean, you know, kind of fits the gimmick that they went with.
Like, I kind of like just interpreted this as if I had to like convert the wrestler into like a Muppet styling. Like Brittany was thinking, no, like it's going to be like, she actually interpreted it as we're going to drop a wrestler out and replace them with a Muppet. Like Kermit the Frog here is going to be like, you know, in contention for some belt.
That's hilarious. I mean, Cookie Monster would be, you know. That's a funny way to put it.
I mean, Artie Evans is kind of like a Muppet too, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Actually, for some odd reason, the person that popped in my mind, honestly, is Truth Martini.
It's the hair. It's the hair through the hat. He kind of, he looks
like a Muppet.
Like a Muppet already. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, Mark Briscoe, I mean, it just makes sense. Jimmy Jacobs would be fun, though. I mean, like you said, too. So, yeah, I just kind of went with Martini, like, pre-2013. So.
I'll stick with Outlaw Inc. And they can go fuck up Rocco or whatever. I know Rocco's from Sesame Street, but I think Homicide on Sesame Street would also be worth whatever it costs, so.
Sign me the fuck up.
Yo, Big Bird! Put it.
Okay.
Homicide is for the children.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Kids, you know what a cop killer is?
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, but as always, Brendan, thank you for the question. And with all the hubbub of this week, we didn't mention a very good friend of the show and guest of the show. We won't get too personal into SJ's, private life. I mean, it's pretty well known, but I mean, that's her story to tell. But obviously, SJ, our thoughts are with you. If you need any tough time, just let us know. But we did want to shout you out this week real quick with everything going on. So, yeah. But, Will, we got some remarks you need to talk about. Oh, sorry. We'll do.
It's in the name of the episode, but we are covering Ring of Honor TV, and we are covering the aforementioned from Brendan's question, Manhattan Mayhem, from who knew?
Yeah. But Ring of Honor TV episode 101, original air date August 24, 2013, and we're gonna keep this briefish. We saw some fun, some new people and some fun. But real quick, obviously, we got a vignette, with Nigel and brief recap of being over. But, like we talked about last week, there wasn't like all these victims and Jay's been stripped, blah, 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 blah. But, Will, I actually texted you shortly after we recorded last week. We did a four-way dance for a TV title shot at Matt Taven. But in this match, you want to tell us the combatants.
Right, so Tom said this was a hell of a match to look forward to. Because, as you recall, we were kind of dreading that because we saw the TV tournament first round matches at All-Star Extravaganza, TV was just going to be road rage for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And we're just going to see all these matches again. But we got something a little different. We did get this four-way match. And New England represented very well here. We have Vincent.
Yeah.
Or he's going by Vinny Marsiglia right now. Very so nice. Going government name.
Yeah.
We've got a Hansen.
Looking very svelte too, with Todd Hansen. Soon to be of the
Todd, world. That's right. I was gonna say I was blanking on his first name, Todd Hansen.
Yeah.
Who would go on to be Hansen, who would go on to be Warbeard.
Yeah.
And now he's Ivar? No. Yes?
Maybe. It's one of them, yeah.
Maybe. He's War Machine. Yeah. He's the big fellow with the beard. We've got Brian Fury.
Yeah. Big fan, somebody you're a big fan of, got a little bit of history with.
Very important to this neck of the woods, and very important to a lot of the people that we're seeing on Ring of Honor TV right now. Ciampa, Hansen, yeah. Taven, Vincent, all trained, same school. Same school, as we mentioned in pre-production, is going to be featured on Impact Wrestling. I'd be curious to see if they actually go to the school to tape something.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, Impact's usually good for shit like that. So. And then some guy named Kong.
Some dude named Kong. It was not Congo Kong.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. I can't stand him fucking guy. I do not like. But
we had we also had Matt Taven on commentary.
Yep. And I do want to mention, like I said, I know Todd Hansen, but remember Raymond Rowe, his tag team partner, also made his debut a couple months ago. So, hopefully there's a format. I know we're looking in the past and we're kind of jumping ahead of the future, but it's our fucking podcast. We're doing a couple of months.
That can't wait to get to that top prospects tournament.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, the four-man, Will said, Matt Taven's on the call. And, the match was all right. A lot of this, match was to really put Matt Taven over. He definitely kind of hijacked the whole time here. It was fine. Even calling Kevin Kelly a jock sniffer, I thought that was funny. But, say what you will. I mean, say what you will. Matt Taven's really starting to come into his own here.
Well, he's not wrong, right? Like, he's beaten everybody he's been in matches with. His success rate compared to other champions is significantly better. And Kevin Kelly was kind of playing it off as it's all kind of flukes. It's all kind of because whoever is getting involved. And Taven tells him, it's like, you've never been in the ring. How many wins do you have?
Once again, he's not wrong.
I thought he was going to storm out at one point because he like got up. It was like yelling down at Kevin Kelly, but then he did sit back down.
Yeah.
Because they talked about how Taven's got history with all the fellas in the ring.
Yeah. And obviously, he will be teaming up with Vinny here in the future. But you know, in the end, Brian Fury does get the pin on Vinny with some sweet crucifix DDT thing. I've never seen that move, which is pretty cool. You know, Matt Taven, you know, gets pretty lippy with Brian Fury, so I guess we'll see them next week. But he's, you know, he's worried about his list of hoopla hotties, you know, there in Rhode Island. So, yeah, super solid match. Well, it was just cool. I said, you know, like you said, it was good to see, you know, these three guys, you know, in the ring.
It was cool to see all these people that are kind of like close to home people for me.
Yeah, literally.
And Kong.
And Kong. You know, we should probably look up to who that guy is. I mean, no offense to him, but didn't do it.
He does not have the cage match like the other fellows in this match. That's for sure. Yeah. But it was I was a little bummed. Nothing against Kong, but it's like they roll his heels. It's like, all right, we got Vincent. All right, we got Brian Fury. All right, we got Hansen. It's like, oh, who else is gonna come out? It's like Kong. It's like Kong.
Yeah, maybe in a different context, you know, but yeah, because it was. But speaking of athleticism, you know, and amazingness, we have a tag team match, Will. The Party Boys versus CNC Wrestle Factory, obviously. Xander Madu, or what the fuck? Zuzu Madu.
It's Zizu Madu.
Zizu Madu, the South African superstar. And our favorite Paradise City, Mike Sadel, I guess they're the Party Boys now, versus, you know, CNC. You know, listen, this match is really athleticism personified. Obviously, all four of these guys can go. I always like to move when Mike Sadel gets his legs kicked out from under him and does his splits. But, you know, in the end, CNC Wrestle Factory gets the overtime, or they hit the overtime finisher for the win. I didn't put a lot of notes on this match, Will. Kind of quick, but do you have anything on this
match, really? No, I forgot all about it until you just brought it up. So,
cool.
I mean, it's always great to see CNC. Hopefully, I'm hoping we see a run with the straps here before the end of the year. But
yeah, well, we're gonna address that here real quick and inside of Ring of Honor. But Brundon's favorite, Steve Carino. Doesn't realize that he's been fired from Ring of Honor, but here's a good problem. He's a contracted ring announcer. I don't know if he's playing like, you know, he doesn't realize he got fired or whatever, but I don't know. What do you kind of think of Carino's actions here? I mean, he's not wrong.
The inside Ring of Honor bit was. It was kind of funny because he just kind of comes in on the side and it's like, he comes like, what are you doing here? And he's like, what are you talking about? We're doing inside Ring of Honor.
He's like, I'm in an
audience. Kind of like, I'm here. Like, Kevin Kelly, my friend, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Let's old time's sake.
But that
was it. But, related to Carino, Kevin Kelly chats it up with Adam Cole. Baby.
Now,
this here title tournament.
I don't mean the picnics here. But
that's what we do here.
We definitely do that. But I don't know if you noticed this, Will, but Adam Cole is like 3 inches shorter than Kevin Kelly in this promo.
Tom, I don't, not nitpicking nits. Adam Cole is that tall.
Yeah, and Kevin Kelly's not that tall. You know, you're, well, I don't know how I say this, so that's spoiling anything, but I mean, obviously they're giving Adam Cole a push here.
Oh, spoil it. You spoiled it. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you spoil something that happened 10 years ago?
But it just, the optic didn't look good.
See, I thought that didn't register to me.
Okay.
But I do see, I understand where you're coming from. It's the old, like the WWE, like has people stand in kind of like in frame, or they have them like squat down or whatever, so the wrestlers seem taller, even if they're, I mean, nobody thinks Adam Cole's tall. I mean, Adam Cole's like my height, maybe.
Yeah, listen, I mean, or he could pull the old Tom Cruise thing and just put him on a box. Wouldn't be that far. I mean, you're shooting from the head up, so keep off table. People. And he's benign. You know, and like I said, maybe I've been watching too much WWE, but in between that though, Will, we do CNC Wrestle Factory. I guess they're getting another shot at the tag team titles. Whoever's going to be tag team champion after through all this. But like Will said earlier, man, I hope they get a fucking run. I don't think they're going to, but you know.
Didn't they spoil the main event for Manhattan Mayhem on this too?
Yeah.
I don't remember chronologically how this all plays out, but it's like if you hadn't seen Manhattan Mayhem, spoiler alert.
Yep.
Because I watched the TV first, and I'm like, well, son of a bitch, now I know.
Yeah, I actually just ironically just watched it for, you know, by accident. But Will, our main event for TV this week. Before that, you know, they do show that little promo that they had in All-Star Extravaganza. We got Joe Koff and Kerry Silken. You know, like we've talked about these guys before, obviously Kerry Silken is the reason Ring of Honor, you know, was as successful as it was. But talking about...
We get the first 20 minutes of All-Star Extravaganza is what we got.
Yeah. Because our first...
They don't even try to hide it. Like, it's obviously a different venue.
Yeah. But we get Jay Lethal. What's
the final notes? Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt.
And commentary did a great match. They're a great job of really putting Sanjay over. You know, he hasn't really been seen much.
No, like, I knew he was perfect Ring of Honor because when they brought him back Tony Khan's Ring of Honor, everybody's like, ooh, Sanjay Dutt. And I know he was in Impact for a
long time. Yeah. But basically, you know, is this Sanjay's first Ring of Honor match that we've seen? This is the first we've seen, right? I don't know if it's his first Ring of Honor match in general, but.
I'll say sure, but I'll pull it up on Cage Match just in case.
Okay.
Fact check.
But
real quick, we don't have an intern to fact check stuff for us as we go. So.
No, that's in the 2024 budget. So. I was gonna say, well, we should have filled out a bracket for this, but that's what I already know we're in. But I assume these two have some history because they got some great chemistry. You know, and Sanjay was doing a really good job on this. A lot of fun spots off the top rope. Yeah, and this might actually be my first match seeing Sanjay Dutt. Honestly, I've heard him on a couple podcasts, but. You know, lots of high flying, lots of fun counters, but in the end, obviously, Jay Lethal hits a lethal injection. Jay Lethal will be facing the winner of Adam Cole versus Mark Briscoe, which we will see on TV next week. I kind of went through that kind of briefly there. Real sorry about that, but do you have any additional thoughts, or you got any info from Cage Match for us?
No, I thought this was a fun match. Sanjay Dutt is a great talent.
Yeah.
As far as the cage match goes, there's some impressive matches on here. Sanjay Dutt has had some real deal matches in his time.
Nice.
But as far as Ring of Honor is concerned, it is looking like this is the first time we would have seen Mr. Dunn. Because through 2012, he was primarily in TNA.
Okay.
So, yeah. Seven. Oh, no. Yes. This date doesn't look right. But it's because of when this was taped, right? So that's why the dates are off.
Okay.
Because they have it. Yeah, Ring of Honor Wrestling number 101. TV show at Rhode Island Convention Center.
Hmm.
They have it dated as July 20. Yeah. Why am I thinking it's September? So yeah, July. They have it dated July 27th.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, we learned a little bit about
this. This is the primo content we hear about. Yeah. But I actually did a little bit to talk about Manhattan Mayhem. A little bit.
Yeah. We will obviously skip. Here we go. My computer's acting weird. The matches that we'll see on TV, Will and I agree to do that. But Prince Nana's on the call. And Prince Nana's been doing some scouting, which is going to come in handy here.
How did you feel about Prince Nana on commentary?
I enjoyed him.
There were some things that were pretty bad.
I must have missed it. Watching it two times.
I mean, we can kind of go over it as we go. I didn't take down examples because I don't take notes because I'm the Tyrus co-host of this podcast.
You still remember more than I do, and I take notes, so I don't know what that makes me.
Do you want to tell the listeners at home what opened up Manhattan Mayhem?
I just want to shout out. Obviously, this happened August 17th, 2013 at the Hammerstein Ballroom. But Will, you and I have actually been in this building together. But the opening match was Adam Page versus Silas Young. Again, you know, we've obviously been seeing this match.
Again.
You know, this is technically the rubber match. I was kind of hoping they'd get some time, but good brawling, you know, until Silas, you know, dumped Page over the top rope. About an 8-minute match, and Silas wins with misery. And Prince Nana really popped for Silas' move. You know, I did pick Silas Young as a breakout star for 2013, but, Adam Page is starting to look pretty good. Obviously, he's going to get, he definitely gets his groove once he becomes Hangman, but he's starting to look pretty solid, and they're both contracted, so. Well, what do you think? I wish it would have got a little bit longer, but, yeah, it is what it is.
It's good. If you've seen any of the last matches they've had, I mean, it's pretty much more the same. Prince Nana at one point saying, "Oh, Silas doesn't seem to like Adam Page. He's kind of beating up on him like an ex-girlfriend or something like that." It's like, oh no.
I must have missed that one. Okay.
Nah. More like no.
But then real quick.
But the match was good.
Yeah. That's a good curtain jerker.
We got the handshake at the end. Code of Honor was adhered to.
Yeah. So, and then after that, Steve Corino comes out. They remind him
again the pleading. Like, what are you doing here? It's like, to do commentary. I'm a contracted commentator.
Yeah. And
Kevin Kelly being like, "Doc, I don't work here no more." He's like, "Since when?"
Yeah. I mean, you know, so if they're gonna play the gimmick where he's gonna act like none of this happened, I'd be okay with that.
And they're right. He's got some post gum clarity.
Yeah. So, or like some kind of,
and he kind of gets nudged out. He goes out through the crowd.
Yeah.
Kevin Kelly says you'll have to talk to Nigel about it.
And Nigel's the boss. No, he ain't wrong.
And as we saw in Ring of Honor, inside Ring of Honor, rather, he's like, he's not returning my calls. He's not responding to my emails.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly even references that inside Ring of Honor. They're here. Don't get a tag team, right?
Yeah.
We get Adrenaline Rush versus CNC Wrestle Factory. Well, I'm trying not to be bitter, but it just seems like it's just these two tag teams wrestling each other all the time.
So this is my big beef. I don't think it's going. I mean, we've seen this match a lot. These guys are all insanely talented. But why are we getting this match again? I don't want to say it's a race thing, but why is it the two black tag teams are wrestling each other on like every card? Why are we not getting CNC CNC versus Forever Hooligans?
Yeah, great.
Why aren't we getting that? Why aren't we getting some variation on that? Like, why not against the Wolves, if they're trying to cement right, because the Wolves wrestled Forever Hooligans on this show, right?
No. Young Bucks.
No, that's right. So why not a different combination of that? So I'm sorry, I was mixing up.
Yeah.
Because we just had the Wolves against Forever Hooligans.
Yeah,
like, right. And I get that the Forever Hooligans and the Young Bucks are right. They're both like the Japanese tag teams, right? So it's kind of like that's the through line. And you get the bit at the end, which is kind of important for like the Bucks character development, I guess. But I would have rather seen a different. I would have rather seen a fresh matchup.
Yeah. Another great match. You know, in the end, CNC, they hit their, it's called the overdrive or overtime now with the
frogs. Overtime, because
they're
working overtime.
You know, and obviously with winning this match, CNC's going to get another title shot that they're not going to win. So, I'm just not hopeful. You know, I'm getting kind of bummed, but, you know, it is what it is. But, Will, after that, we've got a proving ground match. Matt Taven versus Mike Mondo. The returning Mike Mondo, so I guess his injury was, you know, worse than you thought. So I guess Scarlett's gone? So I don't know what they're doing there. But Silesia's got a bar to guard license. So she can be at the ringside. And Casey Ray is Matt Taven's second.
Another student of the New England Pro Wrestling Academy.
Nice. Okay.
Trained by Matt Taven.
Nice. You know, and
kind of all over him. No, it's a little weird knowing that's his student.
Yeah. But Matt Taven and Mike Mondo had a great rivalry last year, you know. But, Will, this is something you texted me about, and I was also very upset to the point where I almost stopped watching. Some guy just reaches over the fucking, and the camera gets it straight at, you know, it's clear as day, grabs Silesia right in the ass.
Right? Like, the audacity.
Like, why didn't they let her beat the piss out of that guy?
Why wasn't that dude yanked out?
Like,
it's one thing if you want to yell stuff. Like, if somebody were to, like, make a comment. Like, I'm not saying, like, making comments are okay. But like, when you're at the point, like, when you are actually, like, you are crossing the barricade.
Yeah.
Like, out of there.
Yeah, you don't touch this, you know. Yeah, I was visiting. Listen, I just thought it was really ironic when you texted me about that. I was like, yeah. And you too, people, if you will subscribe to our Patreon, you can also be included in Will and Brunner and I's text about this show, if you'd like. So just a simple price of $25 a month. That sounds about fair, right?
I mean, they could text us if they want. I mean, a lot of it's just us busting on Tom about not liking olives, so.
Yeah.
And you would get a sneak peek on what the questions of dishonor are, so.
Yeah. Well, we did get a You Got Herpes chant. So Brendan hit the line here.
Of course we did.
You know, Mondo looks good. You know, Cutter DDP thing was awesome. Some fuckery is awesome. That basically really interferes. But Mondo kicks out. Truth makes an injury, gives Taven the book. But Mondo sees it and he stomps Taven's face onto it. I don't know how that didn't end the match. I mean, that's a fucking fool. It's the
book, you know why? Because the Book of Truth wasn't swung. If you swing the Book of Truth, it's a guaranteed win. But if you just take a move onto it, it's not the same.
Oh, see, I just thought Matt Taven was impervious to it, maybe, but. Yeah, but Matt Taven goes for, Mondo goes for a splash. Taven gets the boots up, hits that TDP off of the win, but we do get a cord of honor afterwards. And then after that, Matt Taven and Casey Ray basically have sex with the cord of honor another win. So.
Good for him. Good for Derry, New Hampshire's own Matt Taven.
Yeah. Yeah, all in all, like I said, I mean, these two obviously have great chemistry. You know, it's good to see Mike Mondo back. He's bald, he's angry and everything, but anything you got to add to that one, Will?
No, this was a good match. Casey Ray got to throw the Rana in there into the frog splash by Taven. It's like, ooh. Didn't think Mike Mondo was going to win. I mean, just with the track record of these proving ground matches, the people who are trying to prove the ground don't usually come out on top.
But
well, we also haven't seen Mondo in a while, but it was cool when he came out. It's like, ooh, Mike Mondo, hell yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully he gets a little bit of a run here in 2013. But they're talking about splicing up the tag teams, but it's two young gentlemen we have not seen in quite a while. The Bucks of Youth take on the Forever Hooligans. You know, and the Young Bucks here get a great pop. You know, the Young Bucks are still doing the handshake thing where they only shake their hands, respecting with people they respect. You know, I still like to see that they're trolling Booker T with that. You know that story, right, Will?
Yes. Okay.
For those of you who don't know, in TNA, when the Bucks of Youth were known as Generation Me, I guess they didn't go up to shake Booker T's hand, and he went all ballistic on social media about it. So, you know, they're young. I mean, obviously, they look really young here, but. I don't even know what the fuck my.
I mean, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, the Forever Hooligans. Okay, they do the hug spot thing again, but the pot, you know, where they're gonna fight each other, but then they hug it out. Kind of getting kind of bored with that. I don't understand any of my notes here. So.
Which is a problem because you don't drink. So it's not like this is like sober Tom coming back to drunk Tom's notes.
No.
This is sober Tom's coming back to sober Tom's notes.
Yeah, the Bucks with that leg lock posse thing? Oh, the leg lock pose thing. Where they get the guy in the leg lock and then do their pose. Okay. I don't know how people don't like the Young Bucks, but that's not for himself. We get the classic kicks. From Kozlov again. the Hogan threw the battering ram into a super kick. But goddamn, well, I mean, the Bucks look really fucking smooth in this goddamn. I mean, obviously, at this point, they are one of the greatest tag teams in the world. You know, and Nick does go for that knee in the corner that he likes to do, but Kozlov catches him and carries him to a doomsday knee off top rope. But they don't call it the Meltzer driver yet here, but
No, we don't have any of the fun names yet. No Meltzer driver, no bang for your buck.
Yeah. But in the end, Rocky comes off top into the torque rack. Now the Hooligans win a great match. I don't know what the fuck that was.
I liked how Kozlov had him, like, in the fireman's carry. Then, like, while he was up on his shoulders, did, like, the toss to, like, flip him over into the torture rack.
Yeah.
And No, I was just going to say, post-match, we have the question. Because this was this for the IWGP belts? Was this for those junior belts?
No, I think it was just a match.
So it was a question, right? Post-match, are we going to get the handshake?
And you did.
This was a hell of a match. This match was fun. You know, despite our comments saying we would have rather have seen, you know, a variation of these teams with CNC an adrenaline rush, this was a really good match.
Yeah. I mean, these are two of the best tag teams in the world at the time. So, you know, and the Bucks are over, you know, and, like, you know, they're talking, you know, Nana's talking about how they are the best in the world. So, hopefully we see more of the Bucks in the youth in the future, in the near future. I mean, I know we'll see them more in the future.
Right, because they said this match would have a lot of bearing for the future contention for the tag belts.
Yeah.
Because the Hooligans are technically owed a rematch as per the Ring of Honor contracty stuff.
Yeah. But next, we get a promo from Artie Evans and
QT. Oh, and we didn't say, but the Bucks did shake the hands of the Hooligans.
Yeah.
And everybody goes home happy.
Quote, the Young Bucks have adhered to the Code of Honor for the first time in Ring of Honor. But next, we've got Martial Law in the ring. Yeah. But Artie Evans and QT Marshall, you know, obviously Prince Nana is not a fan. With all the shenanigans that happened last year, but... you know, Artie gets in the mic, says a bunch of words. You know, he's pissed off that Martial Law is not on the card, on that this is an injustice. And he's going to do a sit-in until they get a match.
Well, he's going to state Martial Law, so he pulls out, there's a folding chair, he sits down in it.
Yeah.
And then they get a little creative with the cameras here, Tom.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. Epileptic morning, but... but yeah,
looks some like, Kevin Dunn shit.
Yeah, looks like Prince Nana is now making matches in the entire two psychotic clowns.
So this, like, the lights go down. There's like it's just like cut after cut after cut after cut. Like I don't know if you want to call it like an alarm or whatever in the background, but it's like all these camera cuts. Like, what is this? Like, what is this supposed to be?
Yeah.
But it's Homicide and Eddie Edwards, Outlaw Inc.
Eddie Kingston.
Kingston. Oh, what did I say? Eddie Edwards, oof.
But they alluded that this has been going on for a little while. I don't remember seeing anything. Maybe it's going to be on TV later. But Will, for a split second, no offense to the Headbangers, but I thought it was the Headbangers. For like 32 seconds, I was kind of freaked out. But that's
all. I did have the initial response. I'm like, who the fuck is this supposed to be?
Yeah.
And then I saw him like, ooh, I like this. But at the same time, I'm like, oh no, like, who is it going to be? Is this going to like fall flat and they're going to have this big stupid reveal and the crowd just be like, oh.
Yeah. Homicide like took off half his mask. I'm like, wait a minute, is that? No. And it was Casey, and I was like, oh, it was awesome. But, great pop, you know, on the reveal. And, you know, say what you will about Artie Evans, man. Give that guy credit for being in the ring with these two fucking psychopaths. You know, and like Will had alluded to earlier, High Fivers, the debut of the name Outlaw Inc. You know, and at the end, Outlaw Inc. gets the win with a sitting lariat, and they're wearing suits and ties, and, you know, they're trying to be respectable and honorable for the Court of Honor. You know, and then they get the Code of Honor with Artie Evans, but, we get some book and finger action from Homicide. So, like I said, you know, on our episode with Kyle, you know, in Main Event Spectacle, Homicide's not aged a fucking day. I don't get it. And the way he just wrestles and lives his life, kudos to him. So,
Homicide rules. Homicide's for the children.
Yeah, Homicide. I mean, yeah, I mean, they were made for fucking Sesame Street, yeah. That would be awesome. We should write up some fan fiction. Speaking of that, I'm so sorry, Will. I forgot to publicly thank you for the books. We'll go over that next week, though.
It's all good.
We'll show up, give me a press now, good stuff next week, though. But, Will, I think we're just going to skip here to the main event, obviously, because we've got three quarterfinal matches. I'm assuming you're okay with that.
Yep, you'll have to. We're going to cover these on TV, so we'll drag you guys through it just the one time.
Yeah.
But they weren't bad.
No. I'll just say the second match was shorter than I would have liked. But, yeah, we'll talk about it on TV. So,
but I know we're not going to cover the match, and we'll cover them later. Bennett Ciampa, probably match of the night.
Yeah, these two work very, very well together. And obviously,
two New England boys.
Yeah, I was going to say that New England. And like I said, and you don't picture, you know, Bennett as a like a New England guy for some reason. If that makes sense, but yeah, it was a great match. All three of these were really good. Well, I was going to say it's fucking Strong and Steen. I just upset they only got 10 minutes. Hopefully someday those two could, you know.
Yeah, that I feel like that match was not the sum of its parts, right? That could have been an absolute monster of a match, and it was okay.
Yeah. In our main event for the tag team title, we get Red Dragon versus the American Wolves. The match they won in Toronto, but as we alluded to earlier, Bobby Fish can't get into Canada. So, Rob, your question is very timely.
As we also stated, it was spoiled on the episode of TV that the outcome of this match.
Yeah. And we'll get to that, but. You know, I'm just bummed that
I want to get your thoughts on the closing bits, right? Because obviously the Ring of Honor PWG style, right, is people just take move after move after move and then keep kicking out. How did you feel about the ending of this match?
Excuse me. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I kind of like that. I mean, it's Davey fucking. You know, I mean, the guy's a fucking gentleman, so. Let's see here. So, the end of the match, I got my notes here. So, the end of the match, Eddie Edwards gets picked off the table. Bobby Fish has disappeared. Kyle O'Reilly and Davey Richards beat the piss out of each other like you do. But then Davey Richards gets thrown to the outside. But Bobby Fish was in the crowd, holds his arm in the barricade, and then Kyle O'Reilly does his double stomp off the apron. On Davey Richards' arm, which looked pretty fucking nasty. But Richards fights through it, even ducking an elbow, but in the end, chasing the dragon. And Red Dragon, are your new two-time Ring of Honor tag team champions.
Which, again, the episode of Ring of Honor TV we covered, they say inside the inside Ring of Honor bit, it's like, oh, well, the Wolves just won the belts, but they've already lost them. It's like, wow, thanks, Kevin Kelly. No, so I guess not the end of the match, but like there was a stretch where Kyle O'Reilly was taking like all sorts of abuse. And he was just like kicking out and kicking out and kicking out. And I'm like, have they positioned Kyle O'Reilly to be this kind of character, like to have this kind of like stamina, I guess? Like, I get the story, right? Because it's the whole beef. Like, it's Red Dragon. It's Re-Dragon because of Davey Richards and how they hate Davey Richards.
Yeah, I even have, you know, in my notes here, you know, Kyle O'Reilly taking the brunt of the abuse. There's one spot where Eddie Edwards is in an armbar. Davey Richards comes in to interfere, but he doesn't actually pick up the armbar. That was kind of weird, but... yeah, I mean, Kyle O'Reilly is definitely positioned to be, you know, that guy, you know, like the king of, you know, that that American Strong Style, getting a living shit kicked out of him. But real quick before we get into our thoughts on the match, you know, they win the tag team title, but they are jumped by the newest tag team in Ring of Honor, Outlaw Inc. to end the show.
Yeah, we see the finger breaking spot again.
Yeah. Will, how do you feel about? I don't get it. Why did they take the belts off of Red Dragon?
Tom, why did they have Outlaw Inc. come out with like all the mask and stuff on again? Why didn't they just have him come down?
I mean, it's Manhattan. Maybe the crowd thought the crowd forgot who they were. I know they're trying to do some things with the tag team division, but...
Right, because the tag team division is supposed to be their focal division while there's not a world title. But it does feel a little weird that, like, I know where we kind of spaced out these shows a little bit, but it's they pretty much hot potatoed that belt between those teams.
Three matches, three tag team belts, and it's the same tag team champions that we had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, like when Forever Hooligans beat, you know, Red Dragon on TV, we're like, holy shit, this is fucking awesome.
Right? It's like, what are they going to do with this? And the answer was nothing. They did nothing with it.
Less than nothing. I mean, is this just literally just to get them to Toronto? Because Bobby Fish can't go to Toronto? I don't know. I just... you know, listen, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know we're fans of Reader. I mean, well, we're actually fans of all three of these things. But...
It's the territory thing, right? Like, you send your champ on the road, they can drop a belt, and they... I mean, that's how Ric Flair got hell's straps, right? You know, he goes on a tour, he drops it, picks it up again later, adds another reign to the list. You go on a tour again, you drop the belt again, you pick it up before you leave. That's another reign.
Just, I don't know.
You know, it gets Forever Hooligans, that tag, that ROH tag title run.
Yeah.
Adds it to their list of accolades. Yeah, at the end of the day, it's like, what? Well, why?
I mean, you could have had...
It could have been CNC. It could have been... Adrenaline. Fucking Adrenaline Rush. I keep almost calling him Alabama Attitude.
Yeah. Which is funny because they're nothing like Alabama Attitude.
Nothing at all, but it's the A. It's the adrenaline. Because I always want to say, like, altitude attitude or something like that. It's like, no, that's not it.
Yeah, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, other than the weird, I thought the show overall was pretty all right. I mean, the clown masks and the camera cutting, like, they're trying to be, like, a little cinematic with it. It's like, this is a little weird. Yep. And then just pretty much like rehash that segment when they came out again at the end. It's like they should have just had him run down to the ring and just fucking throw some back fists, throw out a cop killer, like.
Yeah. You know.
Break his touch or whatever you want to do, but like they didn't need the whole like lights and the get ups on again. And
you think Prince Nana's gonna manage Outlaw Inc. or even this is the one off?
Oh, I don't know. And I love Prince Nana. Prince Nana, by all, as far as I can tell, is a great guy.
Yeah.
But I do not love him on commentary.
Yeah, I miss the eating ex girlfriend comments. So.
And I didn't take notes. So there was a couple other things where he said it's like, wasn't feeling. I think there was some comments about like the Hoopla Hotties like during that match. He made some. I was like, I'm not feeling this.
And I just wish they would have let Silesia drag that guy over the barricade. I'm so awesome to watch
that dude just should have been ejected.
Yeah.
You don't touch the talent.
No, especially not that way.
You know, you want to boo. I mean, you want to chant she's got herpes. Like, you want to be a piece of shit that way, you know, but it's like when you actually, like, reach over and, like, you're grabbing somebody.
Not good.
No.
So. Well, Will, real quick here before we pull the train to the station and, you know, high fivers. Sorry, this has been kind of a spastic episode. Yeah, both Will and I both kind of had a week. Sorry about that. This is not, you know, our normal awesomeness. But real quick, I do want to shout out, obviously, everyone here on the Visionaries Global Media. Obviously, Chad, you know, hopefully the shout outs to Chad and Diesel. Hopefully, we get some more VFTR 2.0 sometime in the near future. But I obviously know with Chad having two humans in his house under 2 years old, it's going to be a little hectic. Hopefully, we're going to get Diesel on here to talk some Bray Wyatt here sometime soon. But obviously, a shout out to Matt and Graham. You know, Graham was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago. That good cop, bad cop. You know, JCB, Zach, and Bill over at Band from Ringside. We got the Chris Talks Games guys. So where Chris and Matt talk about video games. Dungeons and Junkies, I think, is on a little bit of a hiatus with, let's say, with Chad's impending fatherhood. And then obviously, our show. Check out the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup. This week I had a great conversation with my good friend, Mr. Battle Tested Ben. If you want to find out what Jocko Willich and Lindsey Sterling have to do with Battle Tested Pro here in Milwaukee, stay tuned to that. But stay tuned for Midwestern Wrestling. We got some big shit coming. We've got an Insane 8 review coming down with our monthly guest, Ref Jerry, a first timer, my good friend Bucky, and Brundon. And I got a couple participants in the Insane 8 coming up soon. So, and some more conversations. So, stay tuned for that. But, and obviously, make sure you're checking out all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards, as you heard on the commercial earlier in the show. But, Will, my friend, listen, I appreciate you getting me through this. Anything you want to add before we pull a train to the station here?
Tom, did you mention the Phoenix Splash podcast?
Oh, damn it, I didn't. And I forgot the Brainbuster Boys. What kind of friend am I?
You forgot the Brainbuster Boys.
And my 2 year anniversary of meeting Brett and Bolt in the real life just happened like 2 days ago. Whoa. Both former guests, Brett and Bolt, have both been on the show. Bolt's hopefully getting us a theme song here soon. So yes, make sure you're checking out the Brainbuster Boys. And obviously the Phoenix Plot, if you're into Japanese wrestling at all, check it out. They've got great coverage of the G1, and Brett and Jason B are diving into Stardom and Noah, which is something I hope to get into after Wrestle Kingdom. So, see, Will, that's why you're an Oakland nominee. Yeah.
Just the usual thank yous from you. Thank you for anybody who checks out the podcast and listens. Thank you to Rob and Brendan for your questions. Thank you to our wives for allowing us to set aside time for this malarkey every week.
Especially this week. I think malarkey is a good fucking word.
Yeah, it's we're scattered. I mean, I don't take notes, and you know, if we had recorded this when we were originally supposed to, it would have been fresher in my mind, but like, I didn't rewatch or nothing. I don't take notes because I'm a piece of shit. So it was, and my internet, you know, Tom's editing magic will make you realize that, well, what are you talking about? Nothing happened at all. But it's that song by Matchbox 20 where it says, it's been a long day. Been some long days. This past week has felt like a month.
Yeah, and your shoot job's like, I mean, you're doing like shit. I mean, yeah.
I will go on record to say my shoot job is whooping my ass.
Well, everyone, you know, all the high fivers, make sure you tell, you know, message Will and make him take his 2 days off and stick with those 2 days off. So we'll work on your day off. You've seen Clerks, you know what happens. But you have seen Clerks, right?
What's that?
You've seen the movie Clerks, right?
This is going to be so embarrassing to ask, but my Wi-Fi sucks, so you keep breaking up. I'm sorry, what are you asking me?
You've seen the movie Clerks, right? With Kevin Smith and...
I think I've seen Clerks 2. I saw Clerks 2. Some friends were watching it when I was in college. So, like, I watched it communally.
Actually, the funny thing is, I don't think I've seen Clerks in a while. I might not have seen it. You know.
I started watching it. I'm not a big Kevin Smith guy.
Oh. Well, we do have hopefully a future guest that's kind of in that Kevin Smith orbit coming on here soon. But Will, I mean, if you see Clerks, you know what happens when people go on their day off. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah,
I do. Like, I know like references to it. I think I sat down to watch it once. And it, like, I got like however long into it, and it just wasn't grabbing me, so I just watched something else.
Fair enough. Yeah, I might need to rewatch it. It might not be as good as I thought it was. So, but yeah, Will, we're gonna pull us straight to the station. But yeah, thank you so much, High Fivers. Obviously, Robin Brunden, thank you for your questions. You know, send some PMA out to our good friend SJ. She's going through a tough time right now. So, and make sure you're checking out our good friends over at Nattering with E. You know, Eric's doing a bunch of content. He's got a new podcast series he's starting that he told me about that I'm actually pretty excited about. And obviously the 90s nostalgia hour with SJ, you know, Bauerhausen and Mr. Freed. So, high fivers. We are out of here, and we will be much better next week. So we'll talk to everybody next week.
I hope.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.